It's a blessing to be with the Lord's people on this Lord's Day. I appreciate Brother Ed reading from John chapter 6. I'd like to go back to there if I could, please. I'm not going to read the whole thing again. I know it was a rather lengthy reading. Appreciate him willing to do that. You know, Jesus was teaching a number of things in this chapter. The one thing that I think about, he was talking about who he was, that he came from God, and what he came for. He said, I am the bread of life. Well, in a very real sense, we are breaking the bread of life this morning. Certainly, Jesus is the bread of life as in a person, as the Son of God. But his word is also called the bread of life. We are breaking the bread of life this morning. And I think we could go so far as to say any time that we as Christians are meditating on God's word, whether it's in our own private lives, as I hope you do, and I'm sure you do, or it's when the body meets, whether it's a family, whether it's in the form of you teaching someone about the Lord. We are breaking the bread of life when we do that. We're breaking the staff of life, the stuff that we must, that our spirits must have in order to thrive. Jesus here in John 6 had just fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Just then he departed. It says the multitude wanted to make him a king. They wanted to make him a king. They had come to understand, at least to a certain sense, that he was the son of David. And they thought that that meant he was going to be a physical king over Israel on the earth. Jesus was not going to have any of that. So they followed him. And Jesus told them, he said, you know, some of you are following me because you're going to get fed, or you think you'll be fed. That was one of the reasons why they followed Jesus. Another reason was because many of them wanted to see a show. They looked at him like he was a showman as a result of his miracles and his signs and wonders. And certainly part of the people letting their emotions get the better of them said, well, if you're going to feed us and if you're going to heal us, then why don't you be our king? Much like human nature today, when politicians do things for us, we want to glorify them and make them something. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you want to live, you need to partake of me. Many of them, they couldn't understand what he was saying. They thought, well, hey, what does it mean? Are we going to eat his body? Jesus was talking about himself, who he was. In essence, partaking of him. But many of them didn't understand that. And it's unfortunate that many of them left Jesus when they couldn't understand what he was teaching, and maybe they realized they weren't going to get any more food. And then Jesus looked to his disciples, and I thought perhaps a certain part of his humanity was coming out. Perhaps he said it with a little bit of sorrow. He said to his disciples, will you also go away? And because most of them had left, they missed some of the best words that were spoken at this instance. When Peter said, well, to whom shall we go? You are the one with the words of life. Now, I don't know whether Peter had a good comprehension of who Jesus was at this point. Sometimes Peter would just blurt out things, and I think sometimes he would be speaking for his disciples, his brothers. Remember the time when Jesus said, who am I? And Peter just blurted out, well, you're the Christ, the Son of God. It's like they all were thinking it, but they just weren't willing to say it. And Peter just said it. So I don't know how much Peter understood there, but he surely was uttering the great truth of Christ. For you are the only one with the words of life. Jesus indeed is the bread of life. Now the Creator has provided for us in all things, in all aspects. When he proclaimed creation was very good, at the end of the 6th day, he had completed his provision for the earth and its inhabitants, and especially for mankind. He provided all that man would ever need physically to live. The food and the shelter and the clothing and everything that we would need. He provided that. But more than that, He's provided bread for our souls through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord provided Jesus as the bread of life. And Jesus made this comparison as something we can all understand. Because we all, most of us can eat bread. Now I know there are some that have an affinity to it, that are allergic to various aspects of bread, and the things that make up wheat and other forms of grain. But for the most part, we thrive on bread. You know, there for a while when our kids were young, my wife, she would make all the bread for sandwiches, homemade bread. And of course the kids wanted purchased bread when they saw everybody else had purchased bread, not knowing what they had. But I'd walked in the house many times and I could smell the bread. There is something about the smell of bread, especially homemade bread coming from the oven. And we would, I wouldn't use the word fight, but we would sort of tussle over who got the ends. Am I the only one that loves the ends on homemade bread? Put some butter on there and some molasses. This is good stuff. But there's something about bread and it fills us up. And so when Jesus refers to Himself as the bread of life, that's a phrase that I think all of us can identify with for our souls. And those of us who follow the Lord, we've come to appreciate Jesus as someone who provides for us. And He certainly isn't a showman that the world would view Him as. Well, He just performs a few tricks. Jesus is a thousand times more than that. Now, it's interesting that while some of those who were listening to Jesus thought, well, is Jesus referring to us eating His flesh? One of the early false doctrines that came out of the apostasy was the doctrine of transubstantiation. When they called it the Lord's Supper or the Mass, as they call it, turns into the physical body of Christ. Isn't that interesting? That was something they were misunderstanding, and yet we have people today who believe that the Lord's Supper that we just shared, the bread is going to turn into carbohydrates, carbs. Break down into sugars, just like the juice. Physically, that's all it is. But it's much more than that because we remember Christ. Now, I realize the Lord's Supper is like a similitude of the bread of life. But Jesus is more than just the Lord's Supper. That's part of our following God, but it's more than that. Much more grand than that. You know, many people today, they seek after a vision of the Lord, but it's like they seek after a Lord who provides them all these physical goodies. They're promised by leaders in some churches, well, if you send me $10, God will give you $100. There are people that fall into that trap. While Jesus does provide us with physical things, but that's not what He came for. God in Christ had already provided us with the world. But He came because He had the words of life so that we might live with Him in eternity. Go back to the aspect of eating bread. Again, it's something we can identify with. It's easy to grow in most parts of the world. I don't know this. I did not do any research on it. But my guess would be some form of grains can grow anywhere except for the poles. Bread is pretty prolific, whether it's the grain of rice, oats, wheat, whatever. We can pretty much grow that. Almost, I think you could probably even grow wheat in Flagstaff. Flagstaff doesn't grow very much stuff. But there's just something about bread, again, a staple throughout the world. And perhaps this is akin to what Jesus said when He spoke to the woman at the well, when He offered her the water of life. He said, I can give you water and you'll never thirst again. He was still talking about Himself. And so when He talks about the bread of life, He's talking about Himself. The Lord provided us the bread of life. We have a literal feast for our spirits, which are in such dire need of spiritual sustenance, to be sure. A meal of righteousness and holiness. And this pertains to our individual lives of partaking of Christ. It also pertains to our meeting when we meet in the name of the Lord. Our spirits get our spiritual nutrition that our spiritual bodies need. Spiritual food that only God can provide. The world tries to provide its version of spiritual food. Satan tries to provide his version of spiritual food. You know, I used to know a sister in the Lord a number of years ago in Denver when we were living there. I think she's passed now. But she grew up in Hungary in World War II. But she commented a number of times that towards the end of the war, the Allies had destroyed the infrastructure. It wasn't just the ability to make weapons. They also destroyed the industry that provided food. And they did that to bring the war to a close. But she said where she was at in Hungary, she was just a little girl, maybe 7 or 8 years old. They didn't have any food. And so what they would make bread out of wood fiber. That's all they had. And of course, over a period of time, they were starving to death. Even though they felt full. I don't know if you've ever been hungry before. I don't, probably very few of us have been this hungry before. But I've heard the pains are just pretty horrible. But they knew it wasn't going to provide for them, but it made them feel like they were full. And that's the way the world's fiber is. It makes us feel full. But in reality, our spirits will starve to death because it isn't what we really need. It's worthless. It's like eating a whole meal or two of little cream cakes. It's got that little buttery stuff that tastes so good. It doesn't do you any good. It's worthless when it comes to surviving. And so many people, when they just eat the bread from the world, they ultimately are starving to death. But it makes them feel good. You think about some of the different topics that you hear when the body meets. Appreciated our class this morning about the fruit of the Spirit. That was breaking the bread of life. You think about the songs that we just sang. It's breaking the bread of life. I appreciate Brother Denny leading that song, Break Thou the Bread of Life. I realize many times that's the song used to help think about the Lord's Supper, and it is a good song for that. But it's a good song for any time you want to think about God and Christ and His Word. We're breaking the bread of life. Now I realize music is a form of art, and it's in the eye of the beholder. When I look at that song, I don't think about the Lord's Supper. I think about Jesus. It talks about the living Word. I think about His pages in His Word. The Word of God, it mentions the pages. So that's a beautiful song under any context whenever brethren meet together. Breaking the bread of life. Think about all the different topics we talk about in our classes. And the different studies we participate with in our homes. That we teach our children and our grandchildren. Hopefully you'll go home today after meeting with the body and think about some of these topics even further. And you'll mull them over in your mind. That's like breaking the bread of life. That's what we're doing when we do what's right. I think about, from my personal perspective, over the years I've been assigned specific topics, generally like over a weekend or for a whole week from the Bible. One time I was assigned a topic of speaking on the Bible in 5 lessons. Well, there's no way you could talk about the Bible in detail in 5 lessons. You couldn't even read it through in 5 lessons. I mean, it's just too much. But from that assignment, which I entitled Journey Through the Bible, I come out with like 50 different lessons that I learned from that assignment. A number of years ago, I was assigned the topic at Eminence of the resurrection. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And from that assignment, I was able to break that up into many lessons. Breaking the bread of life. That's what that was. And what a blessing it is. For you out there, this applies to the brothers. It also applies to the sisters. Whenever you have topics in your classes with your children or in your homes. When you're breaking the Word of God into pieces and thinking about it and meditating on it. Well, your spirits are getting that sustenance. And then you're sharing that with others, whether it's children or whether it's adults. You're helping them to feast, to feed on what their spirits need. And when we're not feasting on what our spirits need, our spirits are hungry and to the point of starvation when we neglect them. We must spiritually consume Christ if we desire eternal life. That's what Jesus was teaching in John chapter 6. You know, to consume Jesus means to integrate Him into our lives. We were talking about the Spirit dwelling in us, literally dwelling in us. And as a result of that, we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Just like an apple tree bears apples and a pear tree bears pears. Just like a wheat plant bears wheat. When we take Jesus and put Him in our lives, when we apply the Word of God, when we apply His standards, when we live in His righteousness, that's going to come out. People can see it, to be sure. An absolute necessity for our spirits to live. You know, bread has always, again, been considered a staple. And I did some research on this. And within the context of, I think all of us know everything on the internet's exactly right. I know we know that. Especially Facebook. You can count on it. But here's an interesting definition for bread. And I was reading, bread was the only thing that we consume that has all of these necessary items. Generally speaking, now I think we know that the more you process it, the more you damage these items. So the more you can eat it raw, or at least, or it's not processed too much, you get protein, you get calcium, you get iron, you get thiamine, you get riboflavin, you get niacin, you get fiber. And those are absolutely necessary to our physical lives. We partake of that bread, and our digestive systems break it down in the processes. And ultimately, it sends the nutrients from that bread out to the tips of our fingers. And so our cells are remade and rejuvenated. The old cells are brushed off and the new ones take their place. Now, this applies to every kind of food that we eat that's good for us. Our bodies send it out throughout the rest of the body. Well, the same thing pertains spiritually. Our spirits are able to digest Jesus and His Word. So that it sends those spiritual nutrients out to our bodies, our spiritual bodies. So we're able to thrive and live and serve God. What a great lesson Jesus is teaching here. And I don't know how much the scientists of that day or the doctors of that day understood how the body broke down the food. I'm sure they had some form of understanding. But to the extent today, the fact that we can look at atoms and things smaller than atoms and see in our bodies and how they're made up, we can see the results of eating that bread or that meat or those vegetables or that water. They can see it. You think about what the bread of life can truly do for us. Yes, it gives us hope for heaven, to be sure. That's a large part of the gospel of Christ. But it also gives us hope for today. You know, I've met over the years, sometimes I've met Christians who have left the Lord. And then they come back to the Lord. And many of them who come back, they talk about how those years they were away from the Lord and His people, their spirits were devastated. Their spirits, they realized this later, their spirits were starving. Were dying because they weren't receiving the bread of life. They weren't enjoying the benefits of the bread of life. And fortunately, the ones I'm referring to anyway, they lived long enough to come back to the Lord. And their bodies were rejuvenated. Their spiritual bodies were rejuvenated and refreshed to the point that many of them say, well, it's the best thing I ever did. I think many of us here have known Christians like that who come back by the grace of God. So it gives us hope for today. It gives us a purpose. You know, one of them, and we have so many things in our world, in our society that we're troubled by, to be sure. But one of the things, I think people, when they're floundering without the Lord, they don't have purpose to their lives. So I think they make up purpose. I really do. I think they make up stuff to get aggravated at, to be offended at. Well, you see, if we follow the Lord and we partake of Christ, we have a purpose, a divine purpose, a worthwhile purpose to live and to grow and to help others, to serve others. The bread of life, Christ and His Word, gives us a better way to live our lives compared to those in the world by His standards. I think about all over the years how blessed, and this certainly applies to today as well, but I think about specifically those first 3 or 4 years when I had moved to Des Moines. I think about how blessed I was by some of the Christians there who invested Christ in their life. Now, my observing their walk, their way of life. And I know there have been many saints here that you also have seen over the years. How blessed you were by watching them consume the bread of life. Watching their faithfulness and their love. And it's just sort of blossoms before us. What a beautiful picture of the bread of life working. And ultimately, the bread of life will give us an anchor to live in a very evil and adulterous generation, which I suspect is applied to every generation that has ever lived, beginning with the first. We do indeed live in an evil and adulterous generation. But we still have a responsibility to partake of and live as the bread of life within us. I like the example. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. You know, certainly the leadership among the Jews in the first century was very corrupt, was very hypocritical for the most part, from the top down. But yet we have a testimony of two righteous souls here who the Lord was going to choose to raise the man who would be the forerunner of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I like what it says about Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now they could have said, now, because of the wickedness of our leaders, we're not going to follow God. But they didn't do that. They walked blameless. They walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. You see, the Lord chose the parents of the forerunner of His Son, just like He chose the parents of His Son, for a reason. Godly people. How many times have you seen godly people walk righteous before God in an evil and adulterous generation? So we dare not let that become an excuse for us. We also shouldn't let it become a distraction. So easy to get into the habit of wringing our hands. Oh, what are we going to do about this and that? The world's coming to an end. When in reality, we just need to walk blameless before God. And do what we can to help people, to be sure. But live in a righteous manner under every circumstance. That's what the bread of life helps us do. In addition to giving us a hope for eternity with our Creator, a true rest from our labors. But right now, it's not the time for rest. Right now is the time for work, to be sure. The bread of life, because it's who He is and what it is so completely satisfying. Now, for myself, and I know some of you here might not like this. My wife certainly doesn't. But I'm not afraid to say it anyway. But I've been outside mowing, which I only have to do about a half a dozen times in Flagstaff. Don't get jealous. That's just the way it is there. But I'll be really hungry, and I want some protein. There is nothing better than a nice, rare steak. Oh, yeah. Yeah, some garlic bread on the side with baked potato. It's like my body's famished. I want that. And I'm thirsty, and I drink a nice, cool glass of water. There's nothing better. Well, it applies many times more so regarding Christ. When our spirits are hungry, how many times do we come to the body when we meet? And we're hungering for something and we get just what we need. We hear something that's just what our spirits needed. As if the Lord knew what He was doing all along with providing us His church. I say that with tongue in cheek. Of course He knew all along. He created us. He knows what we need to provide physically and spiritually. He's provided the church for that purpose. I'm more and more convinced I could not remain faithful to the Lord without the body of Christ. I couldn't do it. I'm not strong enough. And I don't think any of us here are strong enough either, or else we wouldn't have the church. We need what only the body of Christ provides in the form of the bread of life. And if I have that, I have all that I spiritually need. I don't need anything else. And I'm convinced if I'm filled with Christ, the bread of life, I'm not going to have a desire to go out into the world to find other answers. Because my spirit's full. I don't know. As much as I love to eat, and it's obvious I do, I don't like eating when I'm not hungry. I just don't. Now, Becky grew up on a farm. She eats three times a day, whether she's hungry or not. I can't do that. So if I'm filled with Christ, I'm not tempted to eat, partake of things in the world. Because I've got enough. Now, just like bread, real food, I have to constantly keep eating. There's a reason why we eat several times a day. Because our bodies need that. And it's not like we partake of the bread of life one time, and that's it. Because if we do that, we'll starve to death. Just like we have to eat on a regular basis. We partake of Christ on a regular basis. And that's what He provides for us. Now, when it talks about the bread of life, I'm going to use the word pure, but I'm going to use the word in quotes. And I'll explain why here in a second. It must be the pure bread of life. I use the word pure in quotes because who of us here, and I feel confident with this, even some of you here that have been Christians for 60, 70 years or more, who of us here would say you have perfect understanding of Christ? Nobody would. If you claim to, you're wrong. So within the context of our humanity, knowing that we're always striving to learn more, it must be the way Christ is revealed in His pure form in the Word of God. Because if I partake of bread of life that's not pure, it's going to harm me. I'm thinking about false doctrines. And here's an analogy I've used. I used it one time and I was told it wasn't a good thing. So just imagine that. I won't do it in person. Well, let's imagine, I think you've probably heard this before, maybe I've made some brownies for you and we're passing them out. And as you're chewing on the brownie, I say, well, there's just a little bit of feces in it. Isn't that horrible? I did that to a congregation. I didn't put it in it, I just told them I did. A small group. They weren't amused. But the point is, what does that make you feel? The sister here said, oh, I wonder why. Because it sounds horrible, doesn't it? Well, that's the way it is with Christ and any kind of false doctrine that we know is false. When the world lifts up Christ with all these false things, it harms us. When we partake of it, it harms us. It's not good for us. And there are many false ideas out there taught in the name of the Lord. There is not room for impurity in Christ. And we have to be careful that we don't allow the world to define Christ to us. There is only one source that is absolutely perfect and complete in revealing not just Christ, but the Father and the Spirit and their will, and that is the Word of God. Anything beyond that, we don't need because it harms us. Just like eating those brownies with that little bitty feces in it. It only has a little bit. Well, it doesn't take very much, does it? It doesn't take very much. And the reason these false doctrines are a problem because they cause people and us to have a perverted perspective of God. I'm going to talk about this afternoon. You know, a lot of people in the world, they know that God is love. But when they have a perverted definition for love, they don't understand about God. So it must be Christ as he's revealed in the scriptures. And only that. Anything else will harm me and harm us, to be sure. If we appreciate and spiritually enjoy and gain the spiritual sustenance of Jesus as the Son of God, as the bread of life, it must be as he's revealed through the scriptures. Not as we hope he is, not as we want him to be, but as he is through the Word of God. All these false doctrines do is harm us. Jesus, the bread of life, provided by our Creator. We must spiritually consume him and partake of him so that he could spiritually go throughout the rest of our spiritual bodies so that we could thrive, be able to walk with God, literally, to do what God wants us to do. But it must be the pure bread of life as he's revealed in the Word of God. We're going to have an invitation song here this afternoon. If we can help someone this morning, I know the brothers and the sisters here, I know they want to serve you. They want to help you with spiritual sustenance. They want to help you with this Jesus. If there's any questions we or they could answer, if you're ready to give your life to the Lord or you simply want to know what the Bible says, either come forward as we sing or simply speak to any of the brethren after the meeting, and God's word, the bread of life, will be provided for you. Please think about the Lord as we stand and as we sing.